This is Only a Game. I'm Bill Littlefield. 79-year-old Don Christman just might be the most famous person in his corner of coastal Maine, at least when the Bush family isn't in residence down the street in Kennebunkport.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. It's kind of, we have like a two-week window a year. Our popularity rises. But when the game's over, I come back to Maine and life will be normal again.
Christman is the last surviving member of the original Never Miss a Super Bowl club. Only a Game's Karen Given visited him in his home last week before he boarded a plane for Santa Clara, California for his 50th Super Bowl.
Don Christman leads me into his living room, crammed with Super Bowl memorabilia, hats, pennants, signed footballs, and jerseys. He brushes the dust off a glass frame. He says his wife refuses to clean this room, and points to the three older gentlemen in the photo.
This is myself, Tom Henschel of Pittsburgh, and Larry Jacobson of San Francisco.
And have you guys always known each other?
No, we met along the way.
We'll get to Henschel and Jacobson in a bit. Christman started the Never Miss a Super Bowl Club with a different group of men in Denver, Colorado. It was back in 1967. Christman was new to town. He and his wife had started attending Air Force Academy and Denver Broncos games with four other couples.
And along came the Super Bowl, and tickets were pretty easy to come by in the beginning. In fact, the stadium was only not even two-thirds full. It was very much like a college game. They had, I think at Super Bowl I, it was the Grambling Band and the Arizona State Band. I think Al Hurt did a trumpet solo.
Who's Al Hurt?
Well, he was a famous New Orleans jazz trumpet player.
That first game was a blowout, with the NFL's Green Bay Packers beating the AFL's Kansas City Chiefs 35-10. Christman and his friends pledged to attend every Super Bowl game for as long as they could. But they knew that if the AFL didn't become more competitive, they wouldn't be attending for long. Christman says at first he only gave the Super Bowl a 50-50 chance of surviving long enough to become, well, super.
But the world changed, was turned upside down by Joe Namath. And the Super Bowl, I felt, became super.
Quarterback Joe Namath wouldn't lead the AFL's Jets to victory over the NFL's Colts until Super Bowl III. But the first challenge to Christman's pledge came before that, at Super Bowl II.
My streak almost ended before it began.
Christman was on his way to Miami in a private plane when the pilot handed him a book and said, "Find me a place to put this thing down. The wings are icing up."
So I'm flipping through the pages, and then I look down, and there's a giant runway down there, you know. So we landed on an abandoned Air Force base, climbed a fence, and fortunately a state trooper came along, and after a few questions, took us into Orangeburg, South Carolina.
After a couple failed attempts to de-ice the wings, Christman took the train to Miami. His next close call didn't come until 1998 and Super Bowl 32, when he almost didn't score a ticket. He was deep into that story when his phone rang.
So I convinced them that I was legit, and they finally said, "All right, you don't have to follow." Sorry.
No problem.
Can you shut that off?
Yeah.
It was a Canadian television station wanting him to go into a studio for a 5 a.m. hit during Super Bowl week. He said no. He gets a lot of these requests these days, but it hasn't always been this way. Most of the members of that original group from Denver gave up on attending every game after just 2 years. All that was left was Christman and a man named Stanley Whitaker. Whitaker was afraid of flying, so he drove to every Super Bowl in a car that had "Never Miss a Super Bowl Club" written in 2-inch letters across the back bumper.
At Super Bowl 17, we decided to go see the Johnny Carson show, which really took place at 3 in the afternoon in Burbank.
Here's Johnny!
So we parked the car and we got into the line pretty early. And this fellow's running up and down the line. Who owns that car that says "Never Miss Super Bowl"? So that's how we met Tom.
That's Tom Henschel, the one in Christman's dusty photograph. Don Christman, Stanley Whitaker, and Tom Henschel met Larry Jacobson, the other man in that picture, at Super Bowl 34 in Atlanta. And finally, the Green Bay Packers introduced the group to Bob Cook at Super Bowl 36 in New Orleans, and the club was complete.
So we went from 5 down to 2 and back up to 5. And now we're going down. Unfortunately, going down now usually means they're passing on.
Stanley Whitaker was the first. He made it to Super Bowl 42 before his health failed. A few years later, the remaining members of the group got a taste of real fame.
Meet the Never Miss a Super Bowl Club. They've been to every game for the last 44 years.
Morgan Freeman introduced the club to television viewers in 2010. And for the first time, the group didn't have to buy their own tickets for Super Bowl 45. Visa would provide them. But Bob Cook wouldn't make it there.
They'd already packed the bags, him and his wife, and they were scheduled to come. And he had a stroke of some kind on the way to the airport. So he passed away 4 days after the game, but he did see his beloved Packers win on TV.
Don Chrisman will turn 80 in 3 months. He promised his wife he'd retire after Super Bowl 50, but he's trying to renegotiate. His New England Patriots have another few good years left in them, Chrisman says, and so does he.
Okay, so if it was a 50-50 shot that the game would make it to 50, what would you have put your odds at making it to all 50 games?
I thought about that quite a bit when Stan and I made the pact. No one in my family had lived beyond 77, I think, so the odds maybe weren't good. Of course, I guess it really hasn't happened until I walk into the stadium. So we take it one step at a time.
For Only a Game, I'm Karen Given.